I want just to talk to you a little bit about obeying his commands brings victory. Actually, in the on Wednesday night, as most of you know, I like to give you a lesson that you can use spiritually and naturally. Amen. You know, because God wants us to be successful in both areas. He said that you'd have life and have it more abundantly. Well, he just wasn't talking about spiritual life. He's talking about life, and that includes spiritual and natural life. If you ever read about in the Old Testament, he blessed Jacob. He blessed Israel, or Jacob, you know. He blessed Abraham. He blessed Isaac. But both because they followed him, and then in the natural, he blessed them. You want natural blessings, then you follow God. But do you know it takes the same principles in the natural to be successful as it does in the spiritual area? Let's read from Luke 5. Luke 5, I'm going to read. And Luke 5, I'll give you a chance to turn there. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Genesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, which would have probably been John and James, to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. You know, that's being successful. Because Peter did what he's told him to do. You know, how many of you want to be successful, live successfully? You know, those who are successful stay with it. You want a great family? Stay with it. You want a great marriage? Stay with it. You want a great job? Stay with it. You want to do well? Stay with it. Most often than not, the very key to the breakthrough has to do with staying with it. You know, just a couple of things some guys have said. One guy said, "Success in life is a matter not so much of talent or opportunity as it is concentration and perseverance." Another person said, "The man who succeeds above his fellows is the one who early in life clearly discerns his objective and toward that objective habitually directs his powers." You know, this is true in sports, in everything. But I know when I was going to Canterbury Bible Academy, they didn't have a track team. We had a basketball team. We didn't have a track team. And me and some other guys wanted a track team, so we got together and we started a track team. We got the history teacher to be our coach, and we all went down to the store and bought our shorts, and we got the basketball coach to let us use the singlets for back then. That's what they did back in the 50s. But you know what? We had several people that come out for track. But when we got to the track meets, there wasn't but about 7 or 8 of us. Because they just wouldn't stay with it. They wouldn't do what it took. You know, we were there, and we wanted a track team, and so they had a cross country bunch from the high school across the street that ran, and so we, Coach Malm, or he was our history teacher, he knew a little bit about track. He said, "Look, we're just gonna hook on with them and run." Now some of them, and I'll tell you what, Kenneville, Oregon is in the mountains, and we ran up the mountain on this side and down part of a mountain and down on the other side and hit the highway out here about 5 miles out of town and run back into town to the school. And a lot of guys, they didn't have the perseverance to stick it out. But I made up my mind, hey, I'm gonna succeed. Was it easy? No. But I succeeded. And I ran in the state track meet in 1957 in Oregon. Me and four or five more of us guys. But did we get there just because we wanted to? We got there because we fully concentrated and persevered with what it took to get there. Now, I'm talking to you tonight about spiritual things and about natural things. We all want to be successful naturally. But to be successful naturally, you got to be successful spiritually, and you got to use the same principles. You know, perseverance is a word that most people don't like. Because that means no matter what happens, what comes, what doesn't come, you're there. You're not going to quit. When I rode that bus from Dallas, Texas to Fort Leonard, Missouri, October of 1962, I was probably the oldest guy on there. Well, most of them were like 17, 18, 19 years old, and they're all talking about how hard it's going to be. And I said, yeah, it's going to be hard, but I'd say right now, if you don't make up your mind you're going to make it, you won't make it. Because I'd had uncles, you know, that had been in the Army and friends that had been in the Army, and I made up my mind in that bus on the way up there that there was no drill sergeant going to break me. How many of you Army guys know what I'm talking about? And they try to break you. But to be successful, you got to concentrate and persevere. Now, the Bible has some things to say about perseverance. Perseverance is a character quality that we all need to seek after if we're going to be successful. Nobody that has ever succeeded has not had perseverance. You'd be sitting in the dark tonight or else with candles or something if Thomas Edison hadn't persevered. I don't know what was it, 600 or some odd experiments before he ever got a light bulb that would burn. Man, think about that. But he wouldn't quit. I don't know. I guess it's sort of my attitude. It's sort of a trait of the Hagans. All of them I know are this way. We don't know what it is to quit. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. And that don't mean I haven't had some failures. But hey, you're only a failure when you fail to get up and keep going. You might have failed, but you didn't have a failure. Okay. Matthew 24:13 says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Endures. Now there's another word. Same thing as perseverance. Pushes through. How many people in here ever run track? You know, either cross country or running. You know what? There is a time. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a sprint. The 220, I ran the 220 and the 880 relays, what I ran in. Now, that's 220 yards, and, and 880 yards for you people that are in the metric deals now. That's yards, that's not meters. And there is a, and cross country really hits this, but even running a sprint, there is a point running that 440, which is now the 400 meters, now when it's four, there is a point, because you're sprinting hard, but there is a point that you hit a wall, they call it hitting the wall. And what you do when you hit the wall determines where you're going to finish in the race. Many people, that's when they, and I used to love it. Man, I'm running hard as I can run. And when you're running, and you can see in their shoulders here, if they start to clench their fists, you can see those shoulder muscles tighten. And I say, I got you, buddy. You're toast. Because I'm coming, man. And I'm going to tell you what, I get to that point, I just keep going. In the state track meet when we was running the 880 relay, when I handed him about 20 yards from Lanky Martin, I started seeing white spots in front of my eyes, but I didn't let up. I pushed harder. I handed that baton to him. I put us in first place, and I just fell over in the infield on the grass. I mean, man, my head was spinning, but I wouldn't quit. I said to myself, if I fall flat on my face on this track, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. That's what you've got to have. That's the attitude you got to have spiritually and naturally if you're going to be successful. You know, you got to obey the rules. That's one thing, and we'll get some of that in a minute. The Message Bible of that Matthew 24:13 says, stay with it. That's what God requires. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry, you'll be saved. Then, you know, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the Message says it like this. With all this going for us, my dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourself into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. You know, there are many people sometimes, they feel like what they're doing is a waste of time. Many people in training, especially in different fields of endeavor, vocations. Sometimes people I know in Bible school, when I was in Bible school, some of the guys, oh man, this is, you know, this, I know some of this stuff, you know, and they drop out of Bible school and try to go get involved in the ministry. And after a while, you don't hear nothing about them because they didn't get the training. You know, even in some jobs, some people, they don't want to take the time to learn how to do it properly, and they mess up and get everybody else messing up. And there are many people like that with the Word of God. They get just enough of it to be dangerous, and they're not trained properly, and they go out and they cause problems for the kingdom of God. Come on now. You know, it says here in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica. He says, like the Message says, so friends, take a firm stand. Your feet on the ground, your head high. Keep a tight grip on what you were taught, whether in personal conversation or by our own letter. Now, I want you to notice something here. It says, stand firm, head high. You know, you can tell somebody that's defeated before they're ever defeated. And, you know, you're playing football, you can tell if a team is walking off of the field and their head down at halftime, hey, we go into the locker room, hey, man, they're toast. They already are defeated. Their attitude shows it. Sometimes you got to be careful that you don't begin to show that attitude and the devil attacked you harder. Now, he's always going to attack you. But if you, that's when you got, that's why I said we got to stand firm in our faith. After having done all, stand, it says. You know, here, just keep a tight grip. Why do you want to hold on? Because the enemy going to steal it from you if he can. Peter said he goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Some people, no, he's seeking to devour, to take the word out of you, to take your perseverance, your endurance out of you, so you just lay down and quit. James 1:12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The Message says that God bless those who patiently endure. Oh, Lord. Patient. We live in a world that's impatient. You know, that's why they started the drive-thru, and now you get impatient at the drive-thru. Oh, I don't know. It's before all the pandemics had started. There was still a line. And I told my wife, I said, I can go inside and get waited on faster and come back, bring it back out than I can waiting in this line. Come on now. You know, the microwave. Everything wants it quick. But you know, there's some things we have to patiently endure. We have to endure. After they will receive the crown of life, which is promised to those who love him. You know, in reality, one of the most difficult things to do is when you're not seeing a lot of progress, it's difficult to endure. It's difficult to be patient. It's difficult to be faithful. But you see, if you're not willing to endure, in fact, Paul tells Timothy, endure hardship. Anybody ever read that over in Timothy? Oh, I got 20 people that have. The rest of them better go read Timothy. It seems that when we don't see things happening like we think they should, spiritually and naturally, discouragement sets in. The enemy jumps on your shoulder and starts screaming in your ear with a loud voice. You might as well just throw in the towel. You might as well quit. For y'all that don't know what throwing in the towel means, that's in a boxing match, if they see a guy's getting beat up too bad, if they throw the towel into the ring, it's over. They stop the fight right there. See, a lot of people don't know what that means. So sometimes you have to explain stuff. I found that out. But you see, he screams at you, you might as well quit. You can't win. You might as well quit. You know, I've seen a lot of guys get knocked down, but they come back and win the fight. But I've seen a lot of people that get knocked down, they come out the next round and it's all over. I mean, they quit. And in high school, the coach had us in PE class. He paired everybody up about sort of as best as he could, size, height, and so forth and so on, athletic ability. And he paired me up with this guy, and you know, my cousin George, he fought a little bit in the Golden Gloves down in Dallas, and so Uncle Dub had taught me and him how to fight. And man, if you're going to fight, going to box. Pull your neck down. And when you throw a left hook, you always do it because, see, right here, I've got some protection. I got this up here. So I'm doing all this fancy stuff, jumping around, you know. He hit me, and I rocked backwards. And they tell me that I came back at him. I hit him about four times, pam, 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 and he hit the ground. And they said, Hagin, he was hitting you, but you didn't even act like it fazed you. You just kept coming. I said, I didn't know he was hitting me. All I know was I'm fixing to knock him out. That's all I know. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. That's in the natural. And some people are just automatically that way in the natural. But let me tell you what, that's the way you've got to be against the devil when he comes at you, because he's going to come at you swinging with everything he's got. And you've got to have that determination. He's not going to take me down. Come on now. You know, there's some things I think we could learn from these disciples here. First of all, they had fished all night. And it says they didn't catch nothing. I mean, I fished a couple of 3 hours and didn't catch nothing and said, hey, this ain't worth it. I'm quitting. You know, they fished all night, didn't catch anything. Now the Lord tells him, hey, go, okay, finish teaching the people, all right, go out there and let your net down. You know, in reality, they could have said to Jesus, now Jesus, you know something about teaching. We know something about fishing. You stick to teaching and we'll do the fishing. Come on now. In reality, that's the way we think sometimes. Sometimes when the Lord tells us to do something that's not quite in our wheelhouse or not quite what we think needs to be done, we want to say, now, wait a minute. But hey, when God's, now you better be sure it's God's talking. A lot of people, they do things because that's what they want. And they say, God told them. Well, you better be sure God told you before you go do something crazy. My dad said one time, he said, hey, before you go do something crazy, make sure that it's the Lord. And he stands you on your head and spins you around three times and sets you back on your feet running. Then you know it's the Lord. But he was over exaggerating to get the point across, because some people had just grabbed a hold of bits and pieces of the faith message and was going out and doing crazy stuff, you know. And we dealt with some of that when I first was in school out here in 77. You know, we had a guy down in one of the stores downtown. And one of the stores casting the devil out of everybody that walked by. I mean, it was a you know, the Lord told us to do some stuff, but not in a stupid way. But you see, we now, if God tells us to do something, it'd be like Peter. He said, okay, you said do it, I'm going to do it. He probably thought it was crazy. I mean, he was a person just like we are. He fished all night. No, and secondly, they were washing their nets. Anybody knows anything about commercial fishermen? When they come in, they clean their nets and get them all ready to go out, because they fished at night. They were getting them all ready so they could go out to fish. Hey, to go out right now, they've already washed their nets. They got them all prepared and ready for the next time. This is contrary to everything that they know. Come on. But to obey his commands brings victory. You know, he just said, okay, Lord. You said it. I'm the fisherman. I know about fishing. You know about teaching. But he knew about fishing too. You know, there's some lessons I think we can learn here from looking at this. Look at the fact that they had spent a long night with no success. But we can spend a long night with no success, but we're standing on the promises of God, and so we keep on going. We don't stop. Our net may seem empty, but don't let discouragement come along and cause you to pack it in. It makes no difference how much faith you have or how great a Christian you are. None of us are immune from the enemy bringing trials and troubles and all kinds of situations to us. But if we will not quit, if we will continue to stand on the Word of God and quote the Word, we'll find success. Amen. We'll find success. Some people think I'm crazy because when I'm, especially if I'm have to leave the office and go buy something, but I do it all the time. It don't make no difference. I do it all the time. I start, I thank you, Lord, for a good parking place. Oh, Lord don't care about parking places. The Lord cares about everything you do. And most of the time I'm in a hurry and I don't need to park 45 miles from the store. Because I'm in a hurry, I got a schedule to keep, I got things to do. We all are that way. And you know what? I see a parking place, it's up close, and I come around to get it, and somebody comes in from the opposite direction and gets the parking place. Anybody ever had that happen? You know what? The first thing the enemy does is try to get me discouraged. I said, okay, Lord, that was my parking place. Now somebody got it, so you're going to have to break another. And that's the way I go at it. But see, other people say, oh, that was my place. Now I guess I'm going to have to go back here and park down here. See, they quit right there. Come on, don't look at me like you think I'm crazy. I did fall out of a tree, but I didn't hit myself in the head. You know, somebody say, What has this got to do with anything? What I'm talking about has got to do everything with life and spiritual life. Remember, I say it all the time, the natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. It's not all natural and it's not all supernatural. Some people want everything to be supernatural. Some people are all in the natural. Let me tell you something. There's both sides of the fence. We are a natural person living in a natural world, but we're also a spiritual person, a part of the spiritual world. And you ever seen a train run on one track? We're a two-track person. We gotta keep both of them going, and God wants us to be successful. Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you to be successful, both spiritually and naturally. You know, somebody wrote this poem, It Can't Be Done. Somebody said that it couldn't be done, but he with a chuckle replied that maybe it couldn't, but he'd be the one who would say so, who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hid it. He started to sing as he tackled a thing that couldn't be done. He did it. Somebody scoffed, "Oh, you'll never do that. At least no one ever has done it." But he took off his coat and he took off his hat. And the first thing we know, he begun it. And with a lift of the chin and a bit of a grin, without a doubting, he started to sing as he tackled a thing that couldn't be done. He did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you, one by one, the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start to sing and tackle a thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. You know, I've already said it, my saying, you know it, I cannot be defeated, I will not quit. Maybe it's not so much a matter of an empty net sometimes as it is an empty heart. Whoa. A teacher did a demonstration for the class. She took a large plastic 3-liter bottle, took the top off it and placed it in with a rubber stopper in the top, and then pushed a needle that you inflate footballs and basketballs with through the stopper. Then she attached a thin rubber tube to a suction device and turned it on. Before long, the plastic container crinkled and totally collapsed into itself. The teachers asked the teachers why, the students why the bottle collapsed, and there was a lot of various answers. But the main one was that the air pressure on the outside had increased and was more than on the inside, and so it was crushed. The teacher said, "Yes, to a certain degree, that is true." But he uttered a timeless truth when he said that in reality the bottle collapsed because there was nothing in it. All you can relate this to our life. We find our greatest times of collapse when we're empty of the Word on the inside. That's why I'm always encouraging worship, prayer, reading the Bible, coming to church. I'm aware that becoming successful is when you have your life filled with these things. You overcome all of the obstacles. You'll never see success until you take what you have and use it as he tells you to. He told Moses, "Hold your rod over the sea." At Mara, he said, "Put the tree in the water." At Jericho, they said, "March around 7 days." The widow of Zarephath had to offer her last bit of meal and oil to get an unending supply. The widow whose sons were about to be taken in as indentured servants got all the vessels she could, and she kept pouring. At Cana, the water pots had to be filled before they could be turned into wine. When Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," nothing happened until he rose up. He told a man, "Go wash your eyes at the pool of Siloam." When he did, he comes seeing. There are many other things in the Word of God that we could talk about. They all occurred when people obeyed what the Lord says or what the Word of God says. I leave you with this thought. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. The Message says, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we'll harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Heavenly Father, just talk to these people for a few minutes tonight to stir up their minds, to get them to thinking about the fact that the enemy would do everything he can to discourage them, to keep them from keeping on, keep them from enduring, keep them from continuing to quote, be patient and quote the Word of God. I pray tonight that each of us will get a new lease on what, on holding on to the promises of God, that we'll grab a hold of a new thought and say, nothing shall keep me from enjoying all the promises of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I tried to give you something that'll help you in the natural and the spiritual. That's the way I like to do it on Wednesday night.